is 5 minutes after the 1 o'clock hour. Welcome back into the show. It's the whole show powered by PDC Energy. JD, I don't know if you're ready for this one, but my big story of the day, presented by FMS Bank, banking made simple. And I got a, few things here. I mean, Dan Quinn, obviously, is the big one. That's big. Ben Roethlisberger. Yeah, let's hit it. Big story of the day presented by FMS Bank. Banking made simple. Well done. You know, JD has been here for a week and a half. And he is our backup producer, Michael, has just abandoned him on an island all by himself. He's running the board and doing everything. Michael is gone. He's out. I don't know where he is, taking a nap or something. And you've just been running the show, man. So well done. Well done by you. Ben Roethlisberger is calling it quits after 18 seasons. It's kind of crazy. He's played for 18 years. I mean, that's nuts, man. I remember that class, too. That class of quarterbacks, man. When that draft, too, it was absolutely great. I mean, it was kind of reminds me of what we saw in the Baker Mayfield draft. But you have a lot of quarterbacks that are going to be in that consideration as far as Hall of Fame and everything. Big Ben, the conversation is there. Trust me. You know, I tend to do this. I go, is it obvious? You guys know where I am on this. I do feel like the NFL, I feel like all the Hall of Fames, there's way too many people getting in. And, you know, you get guys that are just good. Big Ben, was he one of the best to ever do it? Great numbers. Top five in all the major categories. I do think you have to kind of read some of that with a grain of salt. But he was very good. I just feel like it's got to be the obvious. Not if you have to say second ballot or third ballot, then he shouldn't be Hall of Fame. I don't like how we do this where it's like, oh, well, 5 years, 10 years, 20 years. Okay, now I feel like he's there. Like David Ortiz, I mean, getting into the Hall of Fame, he didn't have all these votes. And then suddenly, after so many years, we start giving, I've thought about it. He's not doing anything to earn that after he's retired. So I don't like the first ballot, second ballot stuff. Is he a Hall of Famer? And I say no because it's not obvious to me. I want it to be like, hey, these are the greats. Was Big Ben the best quarterback to do it? Was he one of the best quarterbacks to do it? When you're having that conversation with your friends at the bar and you're saying, hey, Joe Montana and John Elway, Tom Brady and Peyton Manning, are you throwing Big Ben in that conversation? Are you throwing Eli Manning in that conversation, Philip Rivers in that conversation? Like I said, it was a good, those are three legendary quarterbacks from that class. Are they Hall of Famers? And I've changed my thinking process on this a lot over the years. I used to say Philip Rivers was a Hall of Famer, was a better quarterback than Eli. Eli has the Super Bowls. Rivers has the numbers. But I don't think either one of them. Eli Manning, Philip Rivers, Big Ben. Now, will they be Hall of Famers? Probably. According to the way the Hall of Fame does it, the way the NFL does it, they will be Hall of Famers. You want my opinion on it? I don't think so. Eli, Philip, and Ben are not in the same class as John, Joe, and Tom. They're just not. And if they're not, then they shouldn't be in the Hall of Fame. I just feel like we get way... What's the point of adding so many guys? I know you want to honor these guys. And, you know what I don't like? I've decided. If you can't tell the story without them, you can't tell the story of the NFL without this guy, then they're a Hall of Famer. That's weird. I don't think so. I don't like that. Because there's a lot of guys that are unique. Like, is Michael Vick a Hall of Famer? If you say no, okay, well, he had a pretty significant story, didn't he? Obviously, gets put in prison because of the dogfighting stuff. Then he comes back and plays for Philadelphia, and he's pretty good. There's a lot of players in the NFL that have unique stories. Should they be Hall of Famers? Because if you can't tell the story about the league without this guy, then yes, he should be a Hall of Famer. It's kind of true with almost anybody, isn't it? First Advantage text line 888-530-0043. I want greatness, just absolute greatness that's in the Hall. And so what I do have, I think this is how it should be for every league, is, you know, we're going to be strict here. We're going to be strict as far as who we're putting in the Hall of Fame. I mean, I'm looking around at the quarterbacks that are in. You got a lot of great quarterbacks that are in, and then you can argue, should some of these guys be in the mix? You know, Peyton Manning, Joe Montana, Johnny Unitas, John Elway. Those are all the greats. Those are Dan Marino's and Brett Favre, Otto Graham, Roger Staubach, Terry Bradshaw. Terry's an interesting one, but you cannot argue with four Super Bowls. You just can't. He had 212 passing touchdowns, too. But he wasn't like... It's interesting with Bradshaw, because you don't put Bradshaw in the same category as Elway. But the four Super Bowl titles are so hard to ignore that I get why he's in. That one's a little strange for me, but yes, sign off on it for sure. Yeah, Steve Young, no doubt. Fran Tarkenton, Bart Starr, Troy Aikman. These are all names that should be in there. Jim Kelly. I mean, he had a lot of yards in his career in the late 80s and the 90s when the NFL was much different. Plus, he went to a few Super Bowls, four of them to be exact, and lost all of them, but he did go to four. Kurt Warner's in. Okay, makes sense. Did win a Super Bowl, had great numbers, has two MVP awards. Warren Moon's in that list, Dan Fouts. I mean, these guys all make sense. I mean, Bob Waterfield, I don't know if you watched, I didn't, in 1945 and 52, through 52. Bob Greasy. He didn't have great numbers, but they did win two Super Bowls, and he, of course, had the undefeated team in 1972. Six-time Pro Bowl selection. So, all right, yeah, makes sense. So all those names I'm listing, you got Joe Namath in there. You got the guys currently in the league. You know, Tom Brady will be there. Drew Brees will be there. Aaron Rodgers will be there. Is Big Ben, should he fit in with that group? Should Eli Manning fit in with that group? 83 QB class was the best, yeah. I'm just saying that Big Ben class was, you know, when he came out, I mean, we do look back at that. And that's not even just the class or the quarterback class. I mean, that was a hell of a class. Larry Fitzgerald, Sean Taylor came out of that class. D'Angelo Hall came out of that. Jonathan Vilma, Will Smith, Vince Wilfork, Steven Jackson. There's some damn good players that came out of that class, man. 1983, though, you're not wrong. That was a hell of a class, too, obviously, with John Elway, Eric Dickerson, different Kurt Warner. studs there, too. Jim Kelly was in that class. Dan Marino was in that class. First Advantage text line, 888-530-0043. What do you guys think? Should Ben, according to my standards, not the NFL Hall, because he will be in the Hall of Fame. Big Ben will be in the Hall of Fame. Should he be? Now, my thing is this. You ask someone quickly, are they a Hall of Famer? If they have to squint their eyes, tilt their head, and think, then they're not a Hall of Famer. Second ballot. Nope, we got to quit that too. To me, it should be, is it obvious? When you watch Big Ben play through his career, is he an obvious Hall of Famer? Does have two Super Bowls. Had pretty damn good numbers, too. He's close, man. I mean, he's close in the obvious he should be a Hall of Famer. But I'm gonna stay strict here. Holyoke, Big Ben, 100% in. Two Super Bowls, Rookie of the Year, 18 years and a contender every year. He checks the story and statistical category. And then I get all that. That's amazing. But my question to you is he in the same caliber? Is he the same caliber quarterback as Elway, Montana, Tom Brady. Because when you think about quarterbacks, don't you, you know, 32 starting quarterbacks, whatever, you think of your tiers every year. Who's the top tier of quarterbacks in the NFL? Well, it's Aaron Rodgers, Patrick Mahomes, Josh Allen is now top tier. Did I say Aaron Rodgers? Yeah, I already said that. Tom Brady. Those guys are top tier. Second tier, you're probably going, you know, Lamar Jackson, I think, did pop back down to tier two. Big Ben was tier one for a lot of his career. But then when you, so I'm not even just taking the, when you take the season, you do that. Now you also take longevity. Brady, those are two different questions. What are you talking about, Dixon? What are you talking about? That's my deal, is if you're going to say Big Ben's a Hall of Famer, is he in them? Is he one of those top quarterbacks? And you're, John Elway, Joe Montana, all those guys did raise the bar. They raised the bar, so that's your Hall of Fame. Now, if Big Ben and those numbers and what he did was in his career was the best we'd ever seen, then that would be the bar. But the bar was set by those greats that we just fired off. And see, I think this is where we need to be strict. Texter says, no, he may not be in tier one, but he's a Hall of Famer. Don't you think we should be strict tier one? It should be all tier one. Not tier two, not tier three. Let's be strict about this, man. We're talking about the Hall of Fame, the greatest football players to ever do it. You mean to tell me we're just going to keep throwing in 8 to 9 every single year? You said my question is, I did. I did ask two questions, but I think that they get to where I want to go on this. Is he a Hall of Famer? Is he as good as John Elway and Joe Montana? And if the answer is yes and no, then it's no. He is not in the same category. Therefore, we need to be strict on this. Maybe I'm a Hall of Fame snob. Maybe I am. I do think that if you're going to go with, if you want to, yeah, I know, I'm the one putting him in tiers. I think that that's how you look at it. Tier one, it's like we're talking about with March Madness. Quad one, quad two, all those things. Yeah, I know you're right. Texter says the Hall of Fame doesn't put them in tiers. And the Hall of Fame's wrong. Everybody gets in. If you were good, you get in. I want great. I want the greatest. And the answer to Big Ben is not he was one of the greatest. He's not one of the greatest. Eli Manning's not one of the greatest. Philip Rivers is not one of the greatest. Do you want in on this, JD? You got some thoughts, man? Brand new producer jumping on.
I mean, if you're going to induct Ben Roethlisberger, and obviously Tom Brady is going to be in the Hall of Fame, but that's saying that they were of equal caliber.
That's what I'm saying. We're too loose with this thing. I feel like the Hall of Fame, because there's no sections in the Hall of Fame. There's no, oh, but here he's Hall of Fame tier one. His bust is up on the top shelf. It's the Hall of Fame. So you get in, you're equal. And I think we add too many players into this thing.
Oh, yeah, I agree. I mean, just to compare, like, to say that this person is equal to this person and they're on two different levels and have completely different accolades.
Oh, yeah. I think we could tighten this up. Texter Dixon says, what number does the greatest cut off at? Well, you're going to increase that number. That number's never going to cut off. I mean, you're going to see Tom Brady's and Peyton Manning's off and on. And Patrick Mahomes, he's arguably, you know, you could say he's already a Hall of Famer. But you're going to have more. I mean, as time goes on, you're going to have more quarterbacks that are in that category. What point in your rankings does someone have to crack to get in? I don't know. I don't know if I'm getting that analytical on it. It should be obvious. Okay, here's the question. Is Patrick Mahomes in the same category as John Elway and Joe Montana? Right, like based on what we've seen right now. Fair to say. You know, if he gets hurt or he just sucks the rest of his career, then we will have that and we'll say no. He was, now he's not. So, Patrick Mahomes, yes. Josh Allen's not there yet. Mahomes has been to two Super Bowls. He's already in one. He's getting ready to go to another one and probably win that. So, Tom Brady, is he in the same category as John Elway, Joe Montana? Yes. Peyton Manning, yes. Terry Bradshaw's interesting. Yes, that's the one kind of weird one in my book. Dixon says, so like everybody you think is better than Terry Bradshaw. He got in, he four Super Bowls, decent numbers. I guess by my standards, he shouldn't be in the Hall of Fame. That's hard to say, though, but you're right. Okay, fine. I'll go back on it then. Terry Bradshaw should not be in the Hall of Fame. Because when you think of the greats, he's not one of the greats, is he? Is he one of the greatest quarterbacks to ever do it? When you go at the bar and you're sitting down and you're like, man, that Terry Bradshaw was the best. No, it's John Elway. Steve Young. It's a fun conversation, though, isn't it? If you go to Canton, you're obviously looking at the greats, but you're looking at the evolution of the game and the story. Arguably the best big quarterback to play. Extended the plays with the pocket by shedding tackles versus running quarterbacks. No, listen, he's an amazing athlete. He was an amazing player. Hell of a player. I just think that there needs to be a very strict determination factor as far as who's getting in to the Hall of Fame and who's not. 21 minutes after the hour. Let's take a short break. We still have Mark Johnson coming on the show. More on this UNC football thing. Bottom line is it's not right now anyway. I don't think it's a big deal. I'm not trying to belittle some of these players that are frustrated or the parents that are reaching out and are frustrated. I'm not trying to put them down or say that they didn't have a hard time of it. But this is UNC's a small business, but it's still business. And I do think that, you know, with the transfer situation now, with all these guys over 20 transferring out, it's not everybody is going to fall in love with this Coach McCaffrey. And again, he's new to this, man. I don't expect his culture to be cleaned up right off the bat. Not dirty. I don't want him to be like doing things illegally, but I don't expect this thing to be a well-oiled machine yet. You got to give this a lot of time. He's coached 2 years before, and that was high school football. There's a lot to learn in this game. 22 minutes after the hour, we'll take a short break. It's the whole show powered by PDC Energy. Again, we'll talk a little Colorado Buffaloes at the bottom of the hour, so we'll look forward to that with the voice of the Buffs, Mark Johnson. It's the whole show powered by PDC Energy on Northern Colorado's Voice, 103.1 and 1310 KFKA.
Unwind with a good afternoon guy, Brian Gary, weekdays at 3 p.m. on Northern Colorado's Voice, 103.1 and 1310 KFKA.
This is Steve Fairchild at FairchildQBTraining.com, and you are listening to The Whole Show on 1310 KFKA.
Minutes after the 1 o'clock hour. Welcome back to the show. You're listening to The Whole Show powered by PDC Energy. Eastside Chris says, Brady, how many Bradshaw games did you watch? None, but you don't hear Bradshaw's name in the discussion of Elway, Steve Young, and Joe Montana. So I don't need to have lived through all of these quarterbacks to tell you that. I mean, even if I didn't watch Elway, which I did, I could look at his numbers, I could look at his accolades, and I could make that decision. Dixon doesn't like my process here. He says, you're making some big point but have no parameters. Is it just your eyeball test or what? Well, isn't that the Hall of Fame? They look at stats, they look at accolades, and they do the eyeball test. So yeah, that's essentially what it is. But we all can agree on, don't we all agree that Ben Roethlisberger is not tier one? Don't we agree on that? So we can agree on that. All we're having trouble with is my criteria to get in. I want you to be one of the greatest to ever do it at your position. And I'm talking, you know, seriously, Big Ben is not one of the greatest to ever do it. He's one of the really good to ever do it. Scott from Greeley. Big Ben deserves the Hall of Fame, no doubt. Tough as nails, credentials were good enough, and he is better than the Jackson Tier 2s, just not as good as the Monster Tier 1s. Still deserve it. But see, we're all agreeing that he's not one of the greats. If he's tier two, he's not one of the greats. Again, the Bradshaw thing, I didn't watch. No. But you can, what you have to do historically is look back. I mean, there's a lot of guys in the Hall of Fame that I didn't watch. So, you look at the stats, you look at whatever they've achieved and that kind of thing, and you go from there. 30 minutes after the hour, the Colorado Buffaloes got a big win over the Oregon Ducks the other night. We were going to get Mark on it on yesterday to talk about it, but reschedule with him today, so we'll bring him back on. Colorado Buffaloes are for real. They're a really good basketball team, perhaps much better than a lot of people thought. We're going to talk to Mark about that next. First, let's get the latest on the local Sports Flash.
Hi, this is Terry Fry, author, journalist, screenwriter, and you're listening to Brady Hull on The Hull Show, 1310 KFKA.
Just 35 minutes after the 1 o'clock hour. Joining me now on our First Advantage hotline, the voice of the Colorado Buffaloes, Mark Johnson. Mark, my friend, the Buffs found a way to get it done. Coming back, they were down 15 at one point to the Ducks the other night, found a way to get it done. That's a monster win for Colorado.
Yeah, their first quad one win this season. And that, of course, is important. You know, when you're talking about the NCAA resume that they want to try and build. But, yeah, great win, 15 down. I got to be honest with you, I was kind of doubting they were going to win that ball game when it went down 20-5, but they proved me wrong.
Yeah, well, and listen, this is an Oregon team, you know, pretty darn good. Pac-12's got a lot of competition. I mean, they got some great basketball teams, and the Buffs have been through the ringer for sure. But finding a way to hang on and come make that epic comeback like that when it just looked like they didn't show up, and then to be able to recover, it's pretty fantastic.
Well, keep in mind, Oregon had won six games in a row,
yeah,
and including, by the way, going to Los Angeles the week before and winning at number 5 USC and at number 3 UCLA. So, you know, the Buffs didn't get that job done at home last week. So that's a very good basketball team we saw on Tuesday night. And you could see it. I mean, early on, they were hitting shots. And, you know, everything looks better when you're hitting shots, but they were hitting threes or hitting contested threes. And so things look really good for Oregon at that point in time, but Colorado maintained it. What it says to me is this young basketball team continues to learn and is figuring out the intensity level you have to play at, what you have to do in games, how you win games. There's no such thing as a 15-point shot, right? I mean, you've got to continue to chip away, and that's what they did. Ultimately took the lead, got some defensive stops down the stretch, and young team's growing up.
Yeah, it's all about these kind of stories throughout the course of the season, these learning opportunities. And, you know, you had talked about it with us early. Hey, losing games, you learn a lot. Games like this, you really learn a lot. You come back with when really not a lot of people think you're going to find a way to do it. And how about Keyshawn Bartholomew, Jabari Walker? Just two amazing, amazing games by those guys.
Yeah, Jabari, the reason he has such a big game, well, number one, he's a very good player. But number two, what they were doing defensively and how they were defending him. And so what Tad and his staff did, they inverted the offense. Most of the time, Jabari's the guy that will pull guys out. But when you got, you know, a player that is able to go out there and guard him in the perimeter. But what happened was, actually, Evan Battey, they were pulling their 6'11", 7-foot guys out. And they had a smaller guy in Jabari. And so they were putting him down the block, and he's a load down there. And so that was great coaching by Tad and his staff. I think with their game plan, it worked exceptionally well. Keyshawn, you know, has his moments this season. He and KJ Simpson continue to trade time at the point guard position, and they're both growing a little bit. And you know, I think Luke O'Brien gave him some nice minutes off the bench. You know, you got to go around the block there with everybody on that squad. I mean, Tristan DeSilva played well, so there's a lot of guys to point to after that ball.
Yeah, no question about it. Some numbers stand out to you, but you're right. It was a complete team effort to find a way to pull off a win like that. The Pac-12, I mean, you got your Arizonas and your UCLAs, your USCs, and then after that, it's kind of a jumbled mess in there. Where when you look at Colorado, I mean, where do you think that they'll stand at the end of the day? Once we get to the end of the season, where they'll be sitting in the Pac-12 standings?
Well, I still think you've got three elite teams. And yet I think that the three you just mentioned there, UCLA, USC, Arizona. I think Arizona, although UCLA spanked them down the other night, in fact, on Tuesday night in their makeup game. And so, but I think those three teams are kind of in a class by themselves. And then in that next level down, you've got Colorado. I think Oregon is in there. I think Stanford's got a shot to be in there. I think Washington State's got a shot to be in that conversation as well. And so Colorado's in that mix right now. The one thing we know about Tad Boyle teams is they seem to get better as the year goes on. You expect that with a young team. So they're in that next level. Now, can they find themselves by the end of the season you know, being in that upper level, I think they certainly can. They can finish in top four in this league. They're that good. They're that talented. I've said many times, you know, it doesn't matter how you start the season. It matters how you finish and how you're playing at the end of the year. And this team continues to get better. So that's why I'm optimistic about it.
And Mark Johnson joining us, the voice of the Colorado Buffaloes. It just doesn't slow down for the Buffs, though, because the Pac-12 is just so stacked that every night, you know, you're going through the ringer. We said last week was crazy with USC and UCLA. And then now you got to turn around. You got the Washingtons coming up. Those will be some interesting games on the road.
Well, and it's a long road trip. You know, we left on Monday. We flew to Eugene, Oregon, played a game on Tuesday night. Yesterday flew here to Seattle. Got the game tonight. Tomorrow we'll fly to Spokane, stay in Spokane a couple of days, and then driving over to Pullman, which is only about 50, 55 minutes away from Spokane. And so it's just a long time being on the road. And by the way, with the way the schedule's shifting, I'm starting to get worried that maybe the Oregon State game is going to be made up for a road trip coming up here in a few weeks. And so you might be talking another long trip on the road where you're gone 5, 6, 7, 8 days. And it becomes taxing for a team, no doubt about that. But, you know, it is what it is, and they're going to figure it out by the time the season is over. And I just like the way they're playing basketball right now. But tonight, yeah, they've got a great opportunity. You know, they beat Washington, what was it, 14 or 15 points here about 3 weeks ago. Played very well against them. I think Washington has won 3 of 4. They just got beat on Sunday night by Oregon. They got slapped down pretty good, in fact, in Eugene. But they've been playing better as well with the Huskies. So, yeah, tonight should be a great challenge for Colorado.
Yeah, as we said, they just kind of keep coming. Where does the Pac-12 stack up, Mark, when you look at you know, best conferences right now in all of college basketball? Obviously, having a few teams in the top 15, top 10 will really help that. But in your eyes, you know, where do they stack up?
Well, I think, you know, listen, you're where they are in reality compared to where they are in perception. Their perception is that it's a weaker conference, with the exception of those three teams. And I think that's a fair perception because of what they, you know, have done in recent years in the tournament. Although last year, obviously, the Pac-12 played very well. And so you just have to have, you know, and what they did during non-conference play plays into that perception as well. So I think overall the league is looked at as being solid. I don't think it's looked at as being great. I think it's, like I just said, it's looked at as having three high-caliber teams and everybody else kind of falls below that. I don't think around the country they really differentiate between the next couple of levels there. And so it's either the haves or the have-nots kind of how it's viewed around the country.
Mark Johnson, the voice of the Colorado Buffaloes, joining us. So what time do you guys get rocking and rolling tonight, my friend?
Late one tonight, man. We got a 9 o'clock Mountain Time tip-off, so we'll hit the air at 8:30 on the network and see what happens between the Buffs and the Huskies.
I know you love those late night broadcasts, man, huh?
Oh, it's brutal. I mean, just – and then look at this, what we've got coming up, Brady, this weekend. So we've got to stay out here after a Thursday game, wait for a Sunday game, and then it's an 8 o'clock at night game on Sunday. I mean, the people who make – and it's not like we're waiting on an ESPN game or a Fox game or something like that. You're getting tucked Sunday night for a Pac-12 conference game. And it makes no sense to me. You're not doing student-athletes any favors with that kind of thing. But it is what it is. We got to play them when they schedule them.
Yeah. I know. It drives me crazy, especially the older you get, right? When you look at those 9 o'clock games, you're like, all right, let me do the math here. Oh, boy, it's going to be a late night. So,
right.
Yeah, I don't think.
You know, we'll get home at 3, 4 o'clock on Monday morning. And, you know, and then players got to go to class and all that sort of thing. And rest of us got to get up and do our job too, and you know it just doesn't make any sense to me. The Pac-12, where they generally say that, you know, men play Thursdays and Saturdays, women Fridays and Sundays, leave it like that and let us all play on those days. But you know what? They'll play them. Colorado's going to try and win them, and if they get out of this thing with a 3-0. A road trip, be all the better for the Buffaloes.
Yeah, this Buffs team, I don't know if it's fair to say they're surprising a lot of folks. Again, they got some work to do, but I think this is a really, really good basketball team, Mark. When you look at it and say, okay, they've had some tough battles, some tough losses, but if they can put it together, as you said, Tad Boyle's teams get better throughout the course of the season. If they can put it together, who knows? We're talking the big dance, perhaps.
Sure. Well, they've only got one bad loss. That's Southern Illinois. Outside of that, every loss they've had has been a top 15 team. You know, they played UCLA twice, USC once, and throw Tennessee in there, and Arizona. And so, you know, they've got one bad loss very early in the season for a young team. They shouldn't have lost that ball game. But since then, they've played everybody. They've beaten everyone they should beat, and they've played tough against all those top level teams for a team that's primarily freshmen and sophomores. So, it's coming. It's coming. And you know, I don't know if it surprised anybody. I think anybody who knew much about this team knew how talented it is, and how with the opportunity they had. There have been some times I think you've kind of gotten frustrated with kind of the learning curve, but you know, at least they're taking care of business for the most part when they're supposed to.
Yeah, well, we'll look forward to this one tonight, Mark. As we said, a late one against Washington. See if the Buffs can get off to keep this road streak going here, and see if they can find a way to win against Washington. Mark, appreciate you as always, my friend.
All right, we'll talk to you soon.
All right, Mark Johnson, the voice of the Colorado Buffaloes, 9 o'clock on the Pac-12 Network. For CU going up against Washington. Yeah, the Pac-12 is very top-heavy with those three teams, but those three teams are pretty damn good, Arizona being, you know, being really good there. Arizona, UCLA, USC, and then there's everybody else. Oregon's in fourth place, but that was big for the Buffs to beat them, and they could move up this ladder here on this road trip. You're at Washington tonight, then you're at Washington State, as Mark had mentioned, on Sunday, and then back home against the Ducks again. So opportunities are there in front for the Buffaloes. And as Mark said, that's a young team. So if you're a Buffs fan, probably going to be around. This group's probably going to be around for a while. 45 minutes after the hour. We'll take a short break. When we come back, we'll take a look at what's on TV. Wrap up our thoughts on Nathaniel Hackett, the brand new head coach for the Denver Broncos. It's the whole show powered by PDC Energy. On Northern Colorado's Voice, 103.1 at 1310 KFKA.
Get the insight you need before making that pick. Listen to Betting Across America with former Buff Mike Pritchard, weekdays at 2. On 103.1 and 1310 KFKA.
Hey, Nugget fans, this is Coach Bowen of the Denver Nuggets, and you're listening to the whole show on 1310 KFKA.
Tell you about Greeley's hometown orthopedic group. For over 51 years, Orthopedic and Spine Center of the Rockies has been the specialist in the medicine of motion. They have six medical campuses, and they provide care all along the Front Range. Orthopedic and Spine Center of the Rockies is proud to be Greeley's hometown orthopedic group. Check out their website at orthohealth.com. That's orthohealth.com. Well, what's the first task for brand new head coach Nathaniel Hackett and George Payton, obviously, hopefully working together on this? You got to get the quarterback figured out. Is the quarterback first or the coaching staff? Probably a little bit of both in there. Like, is Mike Munchak going to stick around as the offensive line coach? That's a big one. I think it's, you know, they took a step back this year. But overall, I mean, he's really helped Garrett Bowles along, so it'd be nice to retain him. And I think he'd want to stay. I think he would want to. Obviously, I think he has roots, family in Colorado, so I think he would want to stay. That'll be big. Obviously, your quarterback decision. That impacts everything else, though. You know, you got to figure out your position coaches and all that, your coordinators. But when you look at the draft, and you say, okay, are we going to go with the quarterback? Are we really going to try for Pickett at 9? Is that the future? And then you have him and Drew Lock as the quarterbacks going into the season. Potentially Lock wins the job and is a bridge. It could be bizarre. Or are you going all in on Rodgers? Is Russell Wilson still a big possibility? The Davante Adams situation is interesting. Waiting to see what they're going to do there. If he's, you know, if the Packers are going to tag him, as we talked about in the first hour. And then all the other dominoes fall. You know, there's some big name free agents out there. That I think if you're Denver, you're certainly looking around. If you know, guys that could help you out. As we said, Adams would be one of those guys. If he's not tagged, then you'd have to move on. I mean, you just signed Tim Patrick and Cortland Sutton to long-term deals, big money there. So wouldn't you think you'd offload one of those contracts? You'd move on from one of those guys? Judy's still in his rookie deal. So, again, he's probably the most appealing, though, as far as trade bait, because the upside is there. Sutton's good and Patrick's good. Are they great? Are they going to be great? It seemed like after they signed that deal, they took a step back. First Advantage text line is 888-530-0043. What do we got here? Oh, you're talking about Big Ben. You guys are still on this one. He's absolutely a Hall of Famer from the Weld County Swami. You see people complaining about MLB Hall of Fame because they aren't putting in people who impacted the game. Big Ben had a huge impact on the NFL. Well, what are you talking about? Barry Bonds? I mean, we can't use drugs, dude. I mean, you can't use performance-enhancing drugs. That's why they're not getting in the hall. I'm not saying Major League Baseball's 100% right either, but I do think that, you know, we're getting into this point where we do just throw in anybody and everybody into the hall. Eastside Chris, Brady, Big Ben, I believe, had one losing season. Pretty tough, no? Yeah. Again, you guys are, I'm not saying he's not great. He's a very, very, he was a very, very, very good quarterback. I just think that, again, if you can't put him in that upper echelon, then he shouldn't be. He will be. Listen, Big Ben will be a Hall of Famer because of the way they do things. So will Eli Manning. So will Phillip Rivers. Those guys will all three be Hall of Famers. That's the way they do things. They just throw in guys that were good, not great. Tier two gets you into the Hall of Fame. Power to Method Flow Products poll question is out, too. You like the Nathaniel Hackett move? Happy about it? I was kind of shocked that the response is more leaning to no at thewholeshow.com. So go vote. See where that one ends up. Overall, there's still work to do, though. Again, figuring out the quarterback position. And then what does George Payton do about a lot of these free agents? Still tons of questions out there. You know, what do you do as far as the coaching staff? The existing roster. I mean, are you ready to move on from Kareem Jackson? I mean, Caden Stearns played pretty well. Does he come in and take over for Jackson? And there you go. You're not paying out a lot of money at safety. What about Bryce Callahan? Can he stay healthy? If he can stay healthy for a full season, which he has failed to do for 3 years in a row, you'd want him to stay. You'd want to sign him. You know, as far as other big-name free agents out there, will they be able to make some impactful moves? I mean, on paper, it looked kind of good. Ronald Darby, Mike Boone, Kyle Fuller, those are decent names, but couldn't stay healthy. A lot of stuff still to go. But you got your head coach. That's step one. Nathaniel Hackett is the new head coach for the Denver Broncos. That's going to do it for us. I'm going to be at the game tonight at the bank. Bank of Colorado Arena, watching UNC and Weber State. Cannot wait for that one. If you're not going, listen to it on KFKA tonight at 6. Good night, Northern Colorado.